Whenever my grandmother, my Babi of blessed memory, used to go put on her sheitel, her head covering, you know, because around the house she would wear, you know, one of those real Hungarian old-fashioned turbans. And then when she would go out, she would put on her wig. Also, really, she used to wear a real Hungarian wig, one of those blonde ones where, like, every hair is exactly in place. You could probably, like, knock on it. That's how much hairspray was in it. But when my grandmother would go put on her sheitel, she used to go say, I'm going to put on my Yiddishkeit. I'm going to put my Judaism on. And she used to always sweetly and with a smile refer to her head covering as my Yiddishkeit. Das is my Yiddishkeit. It's my Judaism. Which therefore confused me a bit when I heard the following anecdote that one time, you know, in the Lubavitcher Rebbe's house, with Rebbe Tzinchaya Mushka would spend the whole day, so there were certain bachrim, certain young men, that would at times help out around the house, help out to help the Rebbetzin, the Rebbe, or be there to help them if they needed anything. And obviously when the Rebbe wasn't home, when the Rebbe was in 770, so the Bochrim, these young men, felt more comfortable. Rebbe Tzinchaya Mushka was always very welcoming, very warm, and so they felt more at ease, and they didn't go around with their hat and jacket. But if they knew that the Rebbe would come near the house, they would put their hat and jacket on. One time, the Rebbe unexpectedly showed up in his house, and apparently one of these young men were standing like right in the living room as soon as the Rebbe walked in, and he ran away from the Rebbe, like dashed out of the room to get his hat and jacket. And one of the other young men said over the story that the Rebbe looked a little confused, like where this guy ran away from him. And Rebbe Tzinchaya Mushka looked at the Rebbe and said, apparently in a sarcastic tone, he went to bring his chassid. Es gegangen zu bringen sein chassid. He went to get his chassid. Which is obviously tongue-in-cheek and almost negative, as if to say, like, this young man felt that he could only be a chassid. He's only a chassid, he's only a real follower of the Rebbe and a student of the Rebbe, etc. If he's wearing his hat and jacket, if he's wearing his uniform, then he's a chassid. And the Rebbe smiled when the Rebbetzin said that. Now, obviously, that's like with a sort of a tongue-in-cheek negative thing, that he ran to get his outfit, and that's where he sees his chassid as his outfit. You need a hat and jacket to be a chassid. That's the Rebbetzin obviously meant that in a negative way. And my grandmother, I understood it always. My grandmother was the most beautiful thing in the world. She used to call her sheitel her Yiddishkeit. But of course, the difference is why you're wearing it. That might sound simple, and it might sound obvious, but I think if we all check our Judaism, it might not be so obvious why we're wearing it. You know, my wife is a very big fan of John Green, you know, the guy that wrote Fault in Our Stars, and he has all these other things. So recently, she made me listen to a podcast that John Green made, where he spoke about something fascinating. You know, I always love a good lawn. You know, when I was living in Israel for a lot of years, it was one of the hardest things for me in Israel, that there's no green. There's not enough green in Jerusalem. There's a little. But, you know, I grew up in the Five Towns in Long Island, and lots of lawn, lots of beautiful grass. And I always love a good lawn. Who doesn't love a beautiful lawn? And, of course, we all imagine that it's natural, right? Grass, what could be more natural than a lawn than grass? But John Green said apparently it's not true, that even though America is, you know, God bless America the beautiful, we sing about amber waves of grain and miles of cornfields, more land and more water are devoted to the cultivation of lawn grass than corn and wheat combined. Now, of course, corn and wheat is what we need to live. Lawn grass is just for show. I mean, it's nice to be able to walk with your bare feet, but it's just for show. And yet more land and water are devoted to having a lawn, which is just for show, than corn and wheat combined. 128,000 square kilometers of lawn in the United States, which is greater than the entire state of Ohio or the entire country of Italy. And the statistics get worse. Apparently a third of all drinkable water in the United States, a third of all drinkable water in the United States is used to water lawns. And so maybe you'll think, oh, well, it's natural. It's, you know, wasn't America the whole to begin with? It wasn't. It was not even native to America. It was brought to Kentucky originally, which is why it's called Kentucky grass, by early European settlers. A lawn is not native. It's not natural to the United States at all. In fact, for a lawn, for grass to thrive, It needs more fertilizer and pesticide and constant care and attention, yet provides us with nothing other than a surface to walk and play on. It can't be eaten, it can't be used for anything else other than just for show. And there are 10 times more pesticide and fertilizer per acre used on a lawn than corn or wheat fields. And according to NASA, I know these facts are pretty distressing to think about, this is all just for things we just have for show. According to NASA, to keep our lawns green, we use 200 gallons of water per person per day. And almost all sprinkler water is treated drinking water. What do we get from all of this, taking care of our lawn? We don't even touch it directly. We touch the mower, we touch machines. You don't get your hands dirty, you don't touch the dirt. It's not like gardening where you're connecting to nature. It's literally just for show, to look in order, look like your house is beautiful and you have your stuff together, you know? You know, you have a house that has a good lawn, it looks good. It doesn't have a real bearing what's going on inside your house. Maybe inside that house there's a monster that lives, a horrible, abusive, terrible person who terrorizes everyone in the house, and maybe people in the house are terrible, disgusting people, but outside, the lawn is beautiful, nice and green. Nice and green, as long as it looks good in the outside. And I think maybe that's the difference between something like my grandmother. By her Yiddishkeit was so completely who she was as a person, her Judaism. I mean that, you know, it spilled out of her. And I guess Rebbetzin Chaim Mushka felt that this young man, of course, it's a mark of respect to wear a hat and jacket in front of a holy person, and it makes sense, but apparently she felt that this young man was looking to get his hat and jacket not so much because of who he was inside, but because he wanted the lawn to be green. In the language of Chassidus, it's called the difference between pnimius and chitzonius, inwardness and outwardness. Inwardness means inside your house. Who are you inside your house, inside your person? Who are you? How's your Yiddishkeit inside? That's pnimius, that's who you really are, that's inside. Or is your things that you do, Judaism, just hat and jacket? Are you doing it just so people should respect you, should think you're a good person? There are a lot of people that wear black and white clothing and are monsters inside. Now again, obviously we understand, the Torah teaches, the Gemara says, it's always better to do something lo lishma. One should always try to do things for Hashem, even if it's for the wrong reason. It goes without saying, I'm not, God forbid, saying, you know, to destroy your lawns. Everyone, keep the lawn green. 100%, even at Shalei Lushma, the Gemara says, even if it's for the wrong reason, eventually it'll come for the right reason, but it has to eventually become for the right reason. I'm sure everyone understands that if all these years a person is still keeping Yiddishkeit the same way and hasn't grown, hasn't checked if what I'm doing is for God or if it's to make an impression, that's very immature. Yes, it's better than nothing, but it's so immature. Check what's going on inside your house, indoor Judaism. Do we allow Hashem to come into who we are, to really change who we are as people? Do we fight the battle of being open to have dregs and ecstasy and everything in between? Do we make Judaism who we are, or is it just a lawn? Is it just to look good in the outside? May we all really work on our indoor Judaism and at the same time sprinkle our lawn, because of course, when it comes to Judaism, it doesn't use, you don't need pesticides and it's not bad for the environment. It's good for the environment when outside your lawn, the lawn of your Yiddishkeit, your Shetel Yiddishkeit is nice and green. But make sure the inside is like the outside.